Chapter 9. Our Triumphal Decline to Eden. A great tree fell in our forest, Ida, the year you were born. 5 big people could not reach around its trunk. I'd love to be standing with you by its stump when you are the age that I am now. Like Kilslai Kajisting, your uncle of the great Haida Nation, tells us, the ravens and eagles will still be there, the herons and the winged ones, the 4 legs and the swimmers, all will still be there. You won't see me. I would be 130 by then, but there's so much more than eyes can see. The year your mom and dad were married, we built the standing stone circle with Master Mason Ron Crawford. Stones stood up the old way, planted deep in the ground, stand for 5,000 years. But instead, we set ours up on concrete foundations. Probably that will be their weakness. For all we know, most concrete will not even last 1,000 years. I thought of this while we built them. If they are not pushed over, then when these stones fall, it will probably be the concrete failing. But still, who knows? Maybe some of that smarty pants concrete will stand up. We asked our first guests at the Standing Stone Circle to imagine people there in 200 years, in 2205. We gave the stones a good chance of standing at least that much longer than us. What would those people know, particularly about our history? What would they think? Someone said, they'll probably wonder what the hell the people who built these stones were thinking. Let this book be an answer in part. What we were thinking and what we did about it. If I am still here with you when you read this, Ida, I won't be for long. After all we have learned, our life expectancy is still less than 100 years. But my heart swells now to think of you, of the people you will know, all of you, our descendants, yet quite disregarded by us in so many ways, and the things you will see and learn. We still make the same old mistake, attempting to predict the future, though sure as shit off a shovel, we do not know now what you will know. Some of the problems that the future will bring are already evident, but their solutions are not. So we consider the problems insoluble, because given our current tools, they are. But if we could as readily imagine the solutions, the problems would as quickly evaporate. Thus we try to make predictions about the future without a clue about the inevitable advances and breakthroughs in energy, food production, and computing power, and a host of others as yet unimaginable wonders. When English cleric and scholar Thomas Robert Malthus wrote his predictions about population, he could clearly see that increase in production inevitably gave rise to increased population. Thus, when faced with Earth's limited capacity, he assumed a catastrophic result. But although he imagined population growth accurately, he was stuck with 18th century technological solutions and could not anticipate our astonishing advances. Even more, we make our predictions about the future without understanding yet the proper reach of our compassion and of our responsibility. You could easily learn to become better on these accounts than we ever did. I hope very soon we will come to know that bad guys must not be permitted to run wild anywhere. My contemporaries dreamed very big dreams, but even without knowing the disasters you will know, ones that we caused, we have already devastated much of Earth. We presided over the annihilation of many of her species, advanced the demise of countless people exactly like ourselves, and permitted the degradation of many hundreds of millions more, all by failing to regard honestly what our society was doing, by failing to live up to the lessons we were taught as children. How much and whom will it cost to rid Eden of fossil fuel extraction's toxic fruit? Joni Mitchell, in a radio interview, once conceded, "We were going to change the world. When we found out we couldn't do that, then we decided to change ourselves. When we found out we couldn't do that either, we decided to get rich. We ran lovely country clubs and congratulated ourselves as being successful defenders of freedom. And but for a moment, we looked out in stunned wonder upon a world full of impoverished people. Then we turned our backs. Some of us excused ourselves by saying we must first clean up our own backyards, not realizing there is only one backyard." As for our duty to protect our brothers and sisters from pricks, though we would be up and armed should it occur within our country club, we acted with utter disregard, it is true. And while innocents were violated abroad, we sang anthems to freedom and hymns to sovereignty. I do not want to dwell upon the countless wrongs already suffered, only on Kemosabe's obligation to cross the Rio Grande and save the young women of Ciudad Juarez and everywhere else. Where we might have elevated ourselves, we have brought the human race down an ugly notch. Where we might have accomplished development, we have permitted impoverishment. And where we might have practiced good ecology, we have excused devastation. Now, everybody knows how the lying pricks of the fossil fuel business pulled the wool over our willing eyes and wreaked devastation upon you, Ida, while trying to get richer at your expense and that of your children. They say we are the ones who got the energy cheaper, and it did help us get around more easily, but they are the ones who got billions of dollars in profit. We paid for our energy, now it's time for them to pay the true costs of their take. A huge portion of those profits derives directly from the willful, could-not-care-less degradation of your Earth's environment. Those billions, my young friends, are yours. That is how our business should be done properly. Just 150 years ago, we didn't know what germs were. We have been out of the caves only 150 generations, and we think we know just about everything. As we have seen, this is always a laugh. A scream, really. We think we know our place in a universe that 90 years ago we did not even know existed. Daily we are confronted by new indications that our maturity as a conscious species has not yet been attained. With an oblivious shrug, we have gone from a population of 1 billion to 7 billion in your great-grandma's lifetime. Some predict that you will see a leveling off of the population in yours. Soon, we will be 10 billion, and we will do ourselves a great disservice if, like ExxonMobil, we pretend we did not see the trouble that was coming. Or worse, if we pretend that it's okay because nature will set her own boundaries. For instance? Well, natural limits to food production and clean water. So, natural solutions like starvation and disease? Well, yeah, it's natural. It's what happens when there are too many of them. Certainly, if we were pricks. But there is another way. The sooner we care for each and every one of ourselves, the sooner we may begin the decline of the human population on Earth. We might begin to honor decisions to have no children rather than demean the choice as being selfish. By development and education, we may normalize an average of one or two child families. Then we may carry off our long stroll home. It will take time, but no matter what, something we can count upon most certainly is that the time will come and go. 100 years from now exists, as you will surely be able to attest. I think about 5 billion of us on Earth would be perfect, where we were in 1980 when Bill Evans died and Pink Floyd sang "We Don't Need No Education." Or even 4 billion, like in 1974 when a newspaper brought down a U.S. president and the Ramones first played CBGBs, 6 years after my first acid trip. Once our population begins to decline at 1% per year, we will be at those levels again in about 3 generations. Your great-granddaughter may be born into that world. However that may be, it will not emerge until everybody is made safe. We have a long way to go on Earth. It is our burden, but it is also our fortune. When Adam Smith proposed that we each pursue our own self-interest, he presumed we would be primarily sympathetic. If we were more sympathetic than selfish, if we were more dutiful than merely powerful, Eden will be ours and will have been earned. Then we will be the reason we are here. What are we here for? Exactly, man.